picture up of Pastor Al and Avub. Pastor Al Valentine is a friend of mine. He's now pastoring in Uganda. He was a pastor of church in North Tonawanda that he was a part of our pastors network. We have put a couple pastors in there now that were originally from Rochester. They were from California. Now they're back here in North Tonawanda. But Pastor Al has been a friend of mine for years, and he moved to Uganda. And he wrote me this letter. He says, an imam, which is a Muslim pastor, by the name of Avub, recently became a Christian at Bethel Church. That's the name of the church in Uganda. The persecution he experienced was immediate. His wife left him, taking with her one of their children. An attempt to poison him failed. Three hooded men made an attempt on his life, but he was able to escape. Subsequently, Avub's cow was killed. That'd be like somebody blowing up your car here. Additionally, an attempt was made to poison his two-year-old daughter. Remarkably, God preserved her. One day, about eight people came to see Avub. This group had come with a goal of inducing him to return to Islam. When he refused, one of the leaders of the group threatened to cut off his head. Fortunately, the meeting ended without violence. On the Friday following the meeting with Avub, this is Avub on the right, the man who had threatened to kill him attended the local mosque for prayers, the same mosque where Avub had been the imam. As the meeting was underway, the man began to shake uncontrollably, and after a short period of time, he collapsed and he died. The people that had sought to kill Avub were now afraid of him. Since that Friday, no one has attempted to harm Avub or his daughters. We continue to be astounded as we witness God at work in Mabale, that's the city where they're at. He says, the book of Acts is becoming a living reality. I got that, and it's so just grabbed my heart to think of what people do in their commitment to Christ that us in the Western culture have no idea. That when they give their lives to Christ, the rest of their family, every one that they have ever known, disavows them, wants them dead, and attempts to have them murdered and their family murdered. A man that had threatened to cut his head off because of his devotion to God. God saved him, rescued him, and that man literally died. That is the Bible literally coming to life. And I read that story because I failed in the announcements to talk about part of our year-end offering is to international missions. God said he so loved the world, not just what we're involved in here. So part of what we're doing is not only for here. It's going far beyond that. But I wanted you to see the picture of Pastor Al Valentine and Avub and pray for them on a regular basis. Would you do that? And would you also this morning, as I said before, take some of those cards with you, invite some people, take some of those gifts with you, and give them out to some people. And let God work greatly in your life today. Father, I thank you just for the next few minutes to take this time, use it for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said amen. If you have your Bible, if you'd open it up just for a moment to Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to read just a couple verses of scripture and then we're going to be done. This season that we're in is always known as the most beautiful time of the year. And for many, it is. But for some, it's not what we experience. As I said a couple weeks ago, and I reiterated on Thursday night, that song, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, being the most listened to, the most downloaded song ever sung in history. Was written and sung by Bing Crosby back in the mid-late 40s. And when we think about dreaming of a white Christmas, we think about everything just being right. We think about family being together. I think about family. I love that. Last year was one of the greatest Christmases of my life because that Christmas morning was the day I came home from the hospital after having the the blood clots on the lungs, and you know, anything could have happened, but God blessed us that we could enjoy one more Christmas together, and it's a beautiful thing, and I don't take any of that for granted. I was thinking about Ben this morning on his birthday. My mom was the age of my wife, Ben's mom, when she passed away. I was 17 years old at the time. And I thought about how great it was that God has brought my wife through this year with what she's experienced. And we don't take that lightly. I want you to know we're thankful to God. We're thankful for all of you, for the prayers, for the kindness that you showed. And we are, believe me, we are dreaming of a white Christmas where everything is nice and great and family and loved ones together. But things in our world aren't always perfect like that. In fact, at this season, the things that are not, they are magnified because of the season that we're in. And I talked earlier about the loss of this six-month-old this week, the loss of the man in the fire, the police officers, and many other losses that have been experienced. We've had some losses here in the church just the last few weeks. Two gentlemen had gone home to be with the Lord. And it causes us to think, and it causes us to look, where God, where are you in this? And the enemy would have us focus on the darkness, on the loss, on the tragedy. But God says, I want you to focus on who I am and what I have come to do for you and how I've come to lift you up. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 9, behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them and the glory of the Lord shone around them and they were greatly afraid. We live in a time now where it's not angels that are making us fearful, it's the things, it's our culture, it's what's happening in the world around us that grips our heart with great fear. And the Bible goes on to say, and the angel said to them, don't be afraid. And I want to say that to you on behalf of the Lord today. Don't be afraid. He says, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people, not just a select few, but for every one of you that are here today. If there's an area in your life that fear is gripping you, Jesus has come to lift you out of that and to give you some hope and to give you a future and to let you know that you are not alone and that you don't have to live in that hole of despair and despondency, but he's come to bless and to lift you up. It can be the loss of a child. We can remember this morning as I was pondering about my mother, I began to weep just thinking about that. And I had to remind myself that Jesus has come to fill the emptiness that is in my heart. And I don't have to live being overcome by the past challenges or present challenges of my life, of things that I may be going through or things that I may be facing. But I can know beyond any shadow of a doubt that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world or he that tries to influence the world around me. And Jesus gives you and I an illustration of how we can move past these things in our lives. Jesus had a great friend. It was his cousin. His name was John the Baptist. In Matthew chapter 14, it talks about what happened to him. But John the Baptist was the one who saw Jesus coming and said, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. He was the one who said, I baptize you in water, but there is one coming after me whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire. This is John. He says, and this was the one that was the declarer, the forerunner of who Christ was, that God had set before time. And the Bible says that John began as he was a prophet. He was one that would point out when someone was in error. He would point out, he would stand up. You and I could not get away with the anointing that John had on his life there. He, the way he dressed and how he commanded himself. And the Bible says that in verse 3 that Herod had John arrested and bound up and put him in prison because of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip. Well, the reality of it was that Herod was sleeping with his brother's wife Herodias, and John said, what you're doing is wrong. And he says in verse 4, John had been saying to him, it's not lawful for you to have her. And isn't it strange in the season, in the society that we're in, that when someone confronts sin, they become more of the villain than the sinner himself. That'll just hang on you for just a little moment here. And it resembles our society of what John was doing then. He was thrown in prison because he was telling Herod, Herod, what you're doing is wrong. And how many of you know today that if somebody is kind and loving enough to come into your life and say, my brother, my sister, the choices that you are making right now are going to hurt your life, you should hug them and welcome that into your life. Don't amen me down on this now. Say, Pastor, I thought you were going to give some nice, soft Christmas message. This is. Verse 5 says, Herod wanted to put him to death, and he feared the crowd because they regarded John as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday came, the daughter of Herodias, listen to how sin just complicates and magnifies. The daughter of Herodias, the woman that he was sleeping with that was not his wife, that was another man's wife, now she brings her daughter in the mix of this, and they're having this drunken session on his birthday, and she begins to dance before them to please Herod. So much that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked, and being prompted by her mother, because Herodias, the mother, the woman that he was having the fling with, did not like John for pointing out that what they were doing was wrong and it was going to hurt them in the end. She said, have John, although he was greedy, she said, give me here on a platter the head of John the Baptist. I just thought that was interesting that I got that letter yesterday from Pastor Al Valentine. They were going to behead Avub. And here I'm reading on the story on John the Baptist, and this daughter of Herodias, the mother says, give me the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And although he was grieved, the king commanded at the beginning to be given because of his oath and because of his dinner guests, he sent and had John beheaded in prison, and his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl as she brought it to her mother. What evil is that? I mean, come on today. And his disciples came and they took the body away and they buried it, and they went and he reported it to Jesus. And look at this, verse 13. And when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place all by himself. I got to thinking about that. This is humanity of Jesus here. He's going through a hurt, a loss, a disappointment. And he does what humanity says. He secludes himself. He recluses himself. I find it also interesting that Jesus could have wiped everybody out that had anything to do with it. And the Bible does not say he uttered not one word. Because my brothers and my sisters, hate plus hate does not equal a resolution at all. The Bible tells in the story that John is killed and Jesus withdraws. But one other part of that verse, it says that when the people heard of this, they followed him on foot from the cities. Not only does Jesus have to face the pain of the loss, but now he's facing a multitude that are following him. When he wants to be alone and process this, he can't, because he looks out and he sees the need. And this is what Jesus does that I want you to hear. I'm going to close in just a moment. That he could have stayed secluded. He had every reason in the world to be alone and to grieve. And you and I may too. We've got every reason, if you're going through a challenge here, to be alone, to recluse, to isolate. But he shows us in this that something happens. In verse 14, the Bible says that he went ashore, he saw a large crowd, he felt compassion on them, and he healed their sick. What is he telling us here? Jesus is saying, and he's showing us here, that no matter what we're going through, the compassion for others beats out the grief and the despair that we may be going through in our lives right now. You can have the brightest, whitest Christmas that you have ever had if you'll turn your darkness into helping and serving someone else. You can turn your lack, your loss into victory if you'll give away a part of your life that Jesus has given to you. Now I want you to know today, the way out of your funk, the way out of your pain, the way out of your grief is to do something that goes beyond what you are able to do in your own strength. You may say, I can't do that. I don't have it in me. I'm too weak. And that's when Jesus says, in your weakness, I am made strong. I can cause you to rise up out of that pit, out of that hole, out of that despair, and cause you to bless someone. And when you do, it blesses your life even more. Come on today. Seclusion doesn't help us. Hate plus hate does not bring an answer. Some feel an answer for the issues in our region are hate, our revenge. That person should burn in hell. Can I give you a little clue today that that is not your choice and that's not our obligation and that's not up to you and I? I've always heard people say they're going to get theirs. Karma will come around. Let me tell you something about karma. The blood of Jesus eradicates what you think karma may be or not be. And it's not our call to do that. And Jesus shows us a lesson here in all of this. That if we'll give our lives away, that if we'll show compassion in the midst of this, he'll help us out of the weakness, out of the brokenness of our own life. I read this story and I've heard this before, but I was reminded of it this week as I read this. It's a fascinating story about John Newton. John Newton was a pastor in London in the 18th century, and he was the writer of many hymns that we know today, one of them being Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. And John Newton began to develop a relationship with another man that was an incredible writer of poetry. His name was William Cowper. And William Cowper had lost his mother when he was 6 years old, at the same time that John Newton, the writer of Amazing Grace, lost his mother. John Newton decided to turn his pain and begin to help and give others, gave his life to Christ at a young age and begin to help people and minister the word of God. But William Cowper, he began to write poetry. And although he was prolific in writing poetry, in fact, the letters and the biography on William Cowper says that his poetry was so great that he received accolades from none other than Benjamin Franklin at the time. But he, in the middle of it, faced this despair and depression in his life that continually pulled him into a darkness that he never could seem to get out of. In fact, it pulled him so dark and so deep that he ended up in an insane asylum for over 18 months when he was in his late 50s. And John Newton knew about William Cowper, when William Cowper was at a young age, it was when some of the greatest revivalists of the time, like George Whitefield, would preach. And the story tells that William Cowper would be 12 years old, standing on his porch and hearing people clanging lanterns at 4 a.m. in the morning to hear George Whitefield preach the gospel in the cities, in the streets of London. At 4 a.m. in the morning, the streets would be full of people. And William Cowper would hear that, but still struggled with this depression and distress and loss of his mother and everything. In his biographies, it even says that he looked at many different ways to commit suicide through his life, was always unsuccessful. And he finds himself into this insane asylum. And John Newton had a great love for him and reached out to him and took him with him and put him in a house right next door. And the story says that the only thing that separated them was a small garden between William Cowper and John Newton. And John Newton said one day, I want you to come with me. You're going to help me conduct weekly prayer meetings. I'm going to send you to go visit the poor and the broken. William Cowper, instead of you rotting away with depression and despair and focusing on the darkness in your life, I'm going to send you out to give so that it'll lift you up out of your hole and your depression. And the story goes that he began to visit the poor and he began to go on preaching tours with John Newton. And one day John Newton came to him and said, I want you to begin to write songs. And I never knew this story until I began to read it. And one of the first songs that William Cowper wrote on the edge, on the verge of taking his life and depression and despondency was, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood. They lose all their guilty stains in the midst of his darkness. When he began to give away, he found the pathway out of his grief." What am I saying today? You can dream of a white Christmas if you'll begin to give your life away. You can dream of the greatest days in your life coming up in 2015 if you'll begin to offer your life to God at a whole nother level that maybe you've never done before. One of the greatest Christmases you can ever experience is when you begin to look around and outside of yourself. And Ryan had the perfect song this today. Let's forget about ourselves. Concentrate on him and worship him. And when you do, my friends, my brothers and sisters, you are lifted out of that despair, of that despondency, and hope begins to come into your life. And you and I will experience and dream of the whitest, greatest Christmas because Jesus is in the middle of it that we have ever had in our entire life. Amen. Come on, do you love him today? I want all the prayer people to come up. I want them all to come. I want y'all. I want even a couple of the leaders to come up. I had this thought and this vision come to me today that before you left today, that not only if you're going through something, but maybe you're hurting and you're pain, I want you to come down today. And I want I don't want them just to pray for you, but I want them, and you may be having the greatest days of your life right now. But I want them to just touch you and say, "The Lord bless you." I want you guys, all of you, to do that today. Make sure you do that. If they need prayer for something else. But I just felt, I saw the majority of the church coming down and letting them just put their hands on you and say, "The Lord bless you and keep you." I want to declare that over your life today. The Lord bless you and keep you. Just close your eyes just for a moment. The Lord bless you and keep you and lift you. And I don't know who this message was communicating for towards this morning, but I know it was for someone here. Many. You're going through a dark place. There's an emptiness. There's a challenge. You're saying, "Christmas? Huh? Just another day for me." Jesus has come with life and love today to lift you out of that. Maybe you're here today and you've never given your heart to Jesus. You need to do that. It'll be the greatest Christmas present you could ever have in your entire life to give your life to Christ today. You could ask somebody when you come down, say, "I need Jesus." They'll pray for you. You can receive him and begin to live in a whole new dimension. I want the whole church, I want you to stand to your feet as I dismiss in just a moment. And everybody to stand up. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to pray and close. If you just want somebody to speak over your life today, the Lord bless you. I want you to just make your way down here. We'll take the time today. But I know, I sense God really wanting to do something perfect and beautiful in every life here today. This can be the greatest week of our life. This is Christmas week. May the joy of the Lord be your strength. May you be lifted up. Because he was lifted up, you and I can now be lifted up. You can be encouraged and have hope in life. I'm going to close in prayers. I'm praying. You can come down. I'm going to dismiss you. You can come down at any time. But they're here to just to pray over you and to bless you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, you can come now if you want to come. Let them pray and let them lay hands on you. Father, I pray for the house of the living God today that we will be and live and walk out with a heart of compassion for each and every person, Lord. Walk out with a heart to serve and to love and to give. For this is the pathway to our peace. This is the pathway to our hope. Meet every need. Bring joy and life into everyone today. God, we thank you for it today. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody agreed and said, amen. Amen. Come on. Come on today. Praise God. I love you. You come for prayer. You come for a blessing today before you leave. Come on, Ryan. Sing that song, honey.
Oh, thank you.